Thank you, worship team. Appreciate you leading us this morning in singing. If I were to ask you to audibly answer, I'd be curious to what I would hear this morning. The question is, what is the mission of the church? I just ask you not to audibly respond, but just think, how would you respond? And just thinking through that question and just our church, I'm imagining, like any other place, if I ask that question, I get a variety of responses. Some would probably go back to maybe many pastors ago that was at Faith Baptist and said, this is the mission of the church, and they grabbed on to whatever that phrase was, and they would say, that's the mission. Others who have not grown up at Faith maybe would say, I went to this church and this was the mission, so it must be the mission at Faith Baptist. Some, I realize, in our community have had the privilege of going to either a Bible college or a Christian university, and you'd say, I was taught there, this is the mission of the church. Or I heard on Christian radio, or I read a Christian book at one of the publishers nearby, and it taught me this is the mission. And I understand that some of you would say, I don't know. I don't even know where I would go to look for what is the mission of Faith Baptist Church. But I think it's very, very important as we start this year to focus our attention on the mission that Christ has given His church, and therefore Faith Baptist Church. Because if we do not focus on the biblical mission of the church, friends, the results are devastating. And I say that because when you don't focus on the mission of the church, and when it's not driven home, and we have a clear, crystal understanding of what Christ has told us to do, church can very quickly become a place where you show up only then when it's convenient for you. It can quickly become a place where if you're not on point with the mission and you're asked to get involved, your focus isn't on the mission. Your focus is on yourself and saying, okay, if I'm going to get involved with that, I need to know, how is that going to serve me? How's that going to benefit me? How's that going to meet my particular need, instead of the focus being on serving and involvement with a mission in mind? Church, in this context, would be a place where you just frequent when you want to go and enjoy what it provides. And so you have this mindset, if you're not focused on the mission, you're just focused on what church is for you. You will come when you want to come, and you'll leave when you want to leave. And to prevent that kind of fallout from happening, friends, it's important, it's good, it's necessary for us to take a look at Scripture and to see the great commission that Jesus has given us. If we don't have a proper understanding of the great commission, we will fail at accomplishing the mission for the church that Christ has given for us to accomplish. It's not uncommon for churches to lose sight of the mission. It's very, very easy for churches to just go through the motions of continuing to implement and facilitate the programs that have been in place. And we can quickly find ourselves being busy doing good things and completely missing the main thing that Christ has commanded us to do. And maybe you've been hearing this phrase over the last year. He commands us to be making disciples. This is a great commission, being disciples. That's the great commandment. So we're going to look at that together this month. So I invite you to open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 28. If you're using the Bible underneath the seat in front of you, you can find verses 18 through 20 that we're going to look at this morning on page 881. And as we consider this morning about making disciples, arriving at a biblical understanding of what that means, when we get to that point, it's then when we can come together and say, okay, now that we have a proper understanding of what it means to be making disciples, we begin to humbly evaluate, okay, how have we been doing? What are areas that we need to grow and change in 2019 so that we can continue to improve at accomplishing this mission Christ has given the church? Matthew 28, and I realize we're parachuting into the very end of the gospel according to Matthew here. And what I want you to know is just ahead of verses 18 through 20, you can see all about the text teaching us of Christ's resurrection from the dead on that glorious third day and conquering sin, conquering Satan, conquering death. He lives forevermore. And before he ascended back to heaven, he shared with his disciples these words. Verse 18, he says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." When you look at those words, it's Jesus saying, "I am sovereignly in control of everything now in heaven and everything on earth." That's an incredible claim, friends. It's a claim that every single believer in this room needs. At the time when he made this claim, he was encouraging at least 11 men, his disciples. And as he makes this claim, he authoritatively gave those disciples a universal mission now. You see, in Matthew, prior to chapter 28, you can read in chapter 10, you can read in chapter 15. I give you an example here in chapter 10, where he previously sent his disciples to just Israel. But now, before he ascends back to be with his Father in heaven, he gives a new universal mission. Not just go to Israel, but go and make disciples of all nations. When you think about what the world was like then when they heard that, and then think about what it's like now, I read somewhere that it's estimated there are 240 million Christians in the United States. That's a great number. But it's also estimated that there's over 5 billion in our world who do not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And when you listen to those estimations, those statistics, it just teaches us all around us, people need the Lord. All around us. In the midst of this great need, before he ascended to heaven, Jesus says to his disciples, "I'm in charge here. All hands on deck. Your mission is to go and make disciples." It's not negotiable, friends. Every single follower of Jesus Christ must submit themselves to the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. His claim demands our complete surrender to his will. But his claim also gives us freedom. It's an incredibly liberating claim. And I say that because it means, these words from Christ in verse 18 means no authority on earth can overrule Jesus Christ by saying to you, "You're not allowed to talk about Jesus here." Because Jesus says here in verse 18 in his word, "I'm in charge here. I'm in charge of heaven. I'm in charge of earth. And I have given you, me, the authority to go anywhere, to go everywhere and proclaim the gospel. Because there is salvation in no one else but the name of Jesus Christ. Go everywhere to everyone and let them know that I, Jesus Christ, am the way, the truth, the life." He gives us that authority to go into the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. So verse 18, those are key words for us as believers. The great claim. Now let's look at the command he gives us here. Verses 19 and 20, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." I realize when you read this out of your English translation of the Bible, that you're going to, if you're not careful, walk away and think, wow, there are a lot of imperatives in these two verses. But as you study the original language of the New Testament, Greek, friends, there's only one imperative here. It's make disciples. And I ask you this morning, do you consider yourself a disciple of Jesus Christ? That's a very important question. How do you know? Has there ever been a moment in your life where you have repented of your sinfulness and trusted in Jesus Christ alone to save you from your sins? And if you could say, yes, there has been that, then you are a disciple of Jesus Christ that's called by Him to go and make disciples. If you'd say, I'm not sure if I'm a disciple, that can all change right here, right now, where you can repent of your sinful ways and turn and trust in Jesus Christ alone. And when you call out to Him, even right where you're sitting as I'm talking, He promises to save all who call upon Him as Lord and Savior. I encourage you to do that today if you've not made that proclamation of faith in Christ. If I can help you with that after its service, I'd be glad to do so. But He commands all disciples to continue to learn from Him and live for Him, to go and make disciples. Making disciples is one commandment here from the Lord that should weigh heavily on the heart of every Christian. Do you believe that, church? This isn't a commandment that Christ gave just to super spiritual Christians here. And sometimes we can say, well, if it was just the 11 there, then maybe that's who it was geared for, just the super spiritual. They weren't super spiritual. They were ordinary people like you and me. This is not a commandment for just super spiritual Christians. It's not a commandment for exceptionally committed Christians. It is an imperative from Jesus Christ for every believer in Jesus Christ. Daunting, but it doesn't have to be, because we're not expected to go at making disciples alone. God uses His church to make disciples. His mandate was never intended for just one or few Lone Ranger Christians. You see, friends, making disciples is, I'll go back to it here. It's a lifelong process. It begins at the point of salvation and includes the involvement of numerous individuals. That's you and me as a church, each serving the Lord in our own giftedness, our own unique and special ways that the Lord has blessed us with. Making disciples. What we're reading here in verses 19 and 20, it's a corporate responsibility of the church. As long as Jesus tarries, friends, there's never going to be a time where disciples are not to be made. And friends, we need to also understand, no one can also make themselves a disciple. Disciples are used by God to make disciples. So we want to, and we must, continuously, intentionally incorporate disciple-making into everything that we are and everything that we do as individuals and as a church. Can I get an amen? Jesus is graciously telling us here in verses 18 through 20, join Him. Join Him in making disciples. He's saying, faithfully depend, trust in Me to do My work of salvation in the nations. You just join Me in the amazing work of being My mouthpiece, of spreading the glorious gospel of salvation in Jesus Christ to the nations. And it's very humbling work. It's very exciting work. It's very rewarding work. It's what we want to be a part of. We want to be obedient to the Lord for the glory of God. So this one command, making disciples, as you read it in your English translations, it's modified by three participles. And that's what we're going to look at today in our outlines. The participles are go, baptize, teach. Those three participles explain to us how we are to fulfill the command, make disciples. Those three participles, they carry the weight of that one imperative in the Greek language. I realize we all don't speak Greek here, and we use English. So just to try to get our minds around how it's phrased here, if you're a parent and you say to your child, go and clean your room. I want you to make your bed. I want you to put the dirty laundry in the laundry basket. And I want you to vacuum your floor. What's the command there? What do you want them to do? Clean your room. And in cleaning the room, it means you have to go to your room and you have to do those things. If they don't do, if they don't go to the room and do those things, did they obey the command? No, the room's not clean. So that's how this is intended for us to see. It's one imperative with three participles on how to do what Christ has commanded us to do. That's to make disciples. The first participle is go. Jesus commands you and me to make disciples, which means you and I must go. It involves going. Christ certainly is our example when it comes to going. Last month, we celebrated the fact that he left all the glories of heaven and he became flesh and dwelt among us. He entered our mess, friends. He showed us by his life on this earth what a disciple looks like. He told us with his word how to be a disciple. While on earth, he repeatedly would say phrases like this, I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. So he shows us by his example, a disciple delights to do whose will? His master, his Lord, his Father's will. And he shows us by example that a disciple does his Father's will. It's precisely what he did. And we're coming to a time, glorious time of each year, where we celebrate the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ at Easter. He came and he taught us what it means to be a disciple. He taught us we must first be disciples so that we can be used of him to make disciples. Now, I'm fully aware our Christian culture has conformed us into thinking that going means I'm to go and I'm to invite my neighbor to come to church. If he or she does happen to come to church, then I've done my part. It's now the pastor's part. He's the professional to make the disciple. I get it. I get that that kind of a message, that kind of a cultural concept is out there. And I certainly don't want to discourage anyone from inviting anybody to church. In fact, I want to just encourage you to keep it up. But what Christ really means here in verse 19 by that phrase, go, he's saying to you and to me as individuals, break out of your comfort zones. Get out of your Christian bubbles and intentionally reach out to the unreached people. That's what it means to go. And friends, I encourage you not to just, I'm going to do this as a checklist, love these people. If you're going to love them, develop a relationship with them. Right now, I'm developing a relationship with a guy named Danny. He's at Starbucks. He's disabled, a retired DJ. He was forced out of work because of disability. The man doesn't know Christ. And I'm just trying to enter his life through music and the little that I know of the genre that he DJed. And he almost came to our Christmas Eve service, friends. So build relationships with people around you for the sake of the gospel and invite them to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Invite them to say, hey, do you have any religious beliefs? Would you like to study the Bible? And this year I'm going to offer here after membership class an opportunity to teach how to have lifestyle evangelism in your life. And where you can have these relationships and catapult them into where maybe they'd be interested in studying the Word of God. And when they hear the Word of God truly, guess what? They're going to get saved. And they're going to become a part of His church. And it's just incredible to see how God does all this and makes disciples. So build relationships with people. Share the gospel with them. Invite them to Christ. Urge them to accept God's word as true, as authority, to follow Jesus, to be submissive to His will for their lives. Because a disciple is someone who's not only converted, but they're also committed to Christian living. Making disciples includes both salvation and sanctification, friends. It's never one without the other, ever, scripturally. As you read the Bible from cover to cover, there is no record anywhere where you will find easy believism. Jesus is persistently challenging all of His followers to count the cost. He says, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Me. That's a disciple. Verse 19 says, we're to make disciples, make followers of Christ of all nations. And I've already talked a little bit about this. It's not now just Israel. It's all tribes, people, and languages that will one day be around the throne worshiping Jesus Christ as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we rejoice that God's people is not limited to just one nation. Amen? Not limited to just one nationality. Christ commands you and me to make disciples of all people without partiality. So we have to, as individuals and as a church, put off any and all partialities, prejudices. We have to scrap them all for the sake of the gospel. It doesn't matter what their age is. It doesn't matter economic background, ethnicity. It doesn't matter gender. It doesn't matter marital status. It doesn't matter political affiliations. It doesn't matter religious background. It doesn't matter sexuality. It doesn't matter skin color. People need Christ. And we have the life-saving message of the gospel that they need to hear. We're to make disciples of all nations. No one anywhere, including us, deserves the gospel. But everyone everywhere needs the gospel. And Jesus changes lives. And He continues to change lives. And He commands us to go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. His instruction there shows us disciples are not to be concerned with making disciples just in their sphere of influence. But we're also to be concerned about making disciples to the ends of the earth. And that's how we as a church can be involved in that process of supporting great missionaries that are taking the message of the gospel to the ends of the earth. It's a great way for us to be a part of disciple making. Jesus said the repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in His name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You're witnesses of these things. In John 20, He says, peace be with you. As the Father has sent Me, even so I'm sending you. And in Acts 1:8, He says, you will be My witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And you'll not have to go at this in your own strength and power, because you will receive My power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. So He commands us. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. We can go on to proclaim the gospel, because the gospel changes lives. Jesus changes everything. Therefore, our mission is to go and bring the message of salvation from God's eternal judgment to those who are lost. And they're all around us. This message is a message that says, hey, all of us are sinners and we all deserve to be separated from God in eternal judgment. But Jesus Christ, who's God in human flesh, He came to this earth. He died on the cross. He paid the penalty for our sins. And he justifies and freely gives eternal life to all who call out to him as Lord and Savior. He commands us to go and proclaim the gospel. Make sure you look at that clearly, because he does not command us to go and make a person believe and accept the gospel. Only he can save. We're his mouthpiece. We're his spokesperson. We're the one to take the word that he's given us and share it with others. It's only the Holy Spirit, friends, that can truly regenerate someone, imparting spiritual life into a spiritually dead person. That's his work. He wants us to join him in his work of saving those in all the nations. Only the Holy Spirit can use the Word of God and transform a human heart, changing someone into a person who loves themselves and is all about themselves to now someone who loves the Lord Jesus Christ with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their mind, with all their strength. They love their neighbor as themselves now. And they want to take the life-saving message they have been given and now give it to their neighbors because they love them. Only the Holy Spirit can truly transform a heart and make a person a disciple. Let's remember that. Our God lovingly seeks to redeem sinful humans to himself for the purpose of giving himself glory. So God wants us to cooperate with his work, do what he commands us to do here, fully rely on his Spirit, his word, to accomplish his perfect will in the lives of his people. The Father sent the Son to seek and save the lost. And the Son, as we look here in verse 19, sends us to spread the good news of the life-saving message of the gospel to the lost. So before we move on, I just want to encourage you to think. Think about who you're developing a relationship right now for the sake of the gospel. And if you can't think of anyone, there's an alert to you that you need to get someone in your radar that you're going to develop a relationship with for the sake of the gospel. Think about who you've been sharing Jesus with this past month. Who do you need to share Christ with this month? Whose salvation do you want us as a church to be praying for? And we'd be happy to pray for names. You can fill out on a communication card first names of individuals that you have been sharing the gospel with and you are praying will come to know Jesus Christ. And we'll be delighted to pray for all these individuals 2019 to come to the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. He commands you and me to make disciples. It means go. Secondly, you and I, we must baptize. Verse 19, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So as we see here, what Christ is teaching us, making disciples always includes baptism. And with that being said, I want to make sure that we are very, very clear and on the same page together. Baptism does not save anyone. Can you say that with me? Baptism does not save anyone. Scripture is extremely clear. It's by grace you've been saved through faith. It's not of your own doing. It's the gift of God, not a result of works. It's not a result of baptism, so that no one may boast. But baptism is always included in making disciples. Why? Because when a disciple's baptized, we believe in immersion here at Faith Baptist. When they're temporarily submerged underwater and brought back up, he or she is publicly confessing, they're publicly identifying himself, herself with the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They're publicly testifying to the church, Jesus Christ is my personal Savior. They're publicly declaring to the church, I desire to follow my Savior, my Lord, all the days of my life. Making disciples, it always includes baptism. It's important to understand. We're not telling you to say, hey, look at this. There's a little card here, and we like to call it, get out of hell for free, so that you can go on and live how you please. That's not what Jesus is offering here. He always says, count the cost. He's saying, call out to me for salvation and then confess me publicly. Declare your allegiance to me, that you're surrendered to obey me all the days of your life through baptism. And if you've not been baptized after you have confessed the Lord Jesus as your Savior, I encourage you to be baptized. We'll do that this year. You can fill out a communication card and say, Pastor, I need to know more information on baptism. You can call me, email me, text me. We'll be delighted to work with you on making that very, very important decision after you've come to know Jesus Christ. The participle here, baptizing, shows us very clearly, friends, where making disciples is to take place. It's to take place in the same place where baptisms happen. That is the local church. God has always been for disciples to be made in his church. Once they're made, he's always desired that they be further discipled, further instructed in his church. A true disciple, loved ones, is one who is always willing to learn, always hungers for the truth from the Word of God. And I certainly don't want to discourage anyone from craving the Word of God. Instead, I want you to keep longing for God's Word. But remember, friends, you and I are not to just be recipients of the Word. It's easy to make church just be where I go to receive the Word. I come, I sit, I stand, I sing, I pray, I give, I listen, I ponder, I leave. And I do it all the next week, and the next week, and the next week. Making disciples means you and I must teach. Verse 20, Christ says, teaching them to observe, to hear, receive, and obey all that Jesus has commanded us in his authoritative, his eternal word. What Jesus is saying here in verse 20 is, the world is your classroom, and your textbook is my word. And he's commanding us, continue my ministry. I'm going back to the Father. Continue my ministry. Continue to teach others. Continue to teach the truth that I have taught you. That's what he's saying here, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And so when you think about every Sunday you come to Faith Baptist, you are being equipped with the Word of God and the Holy Spirit to go and teach the Word of God. To take the message that you have been taught each and every Sunday and share it with someone. You can take the verses, the passages of Scripture that you're reading during the week in your personal quiet time with the Lord, and you can share it. You can teach it to others. You say, who do I teach it to? Your spouse, your kids, your grandkids, your coworkers, your neighbors, your friends. I can go on and on and on. That's making disciples, teaching them to observe all that he has commanded us. It's our responsibility. It's not just solely my responsibility. It's yours, it's mine, it's ours to instruct other believers in God's ways according to God's word. To assist and encourage other believers to embrace this lifelong pursuit of knowing Jesus. Forsaking it all so that we can know him more. Have a deeper, more intimate relationship with him until we're face to face with him forever in heaven. So when we put all three of these participles together, when we focus here on the mandate that Christ has given the church, make disciples, friends, I want to piggyback on something we looked at last year that's very, very helpful to remember in all of this mandate, all these participles. We talked about the body of Christ in 1 Corinthians 12 in our Bible studies. We learned the body of Christ has many members, many parts, but we're one body. Christ has appointed each individual member of the body with various gifts. Gifts that are to be used for God's glory. and for the building up of his church. And so as responsible, obedient Christians, we have to discover what are the spiritual gift or gifts that God has given us and determine how can I best use the gift or gifts that God has given me in the local church as it corporately unites together to fulfill the mission Christ has given us to make disciples. Every single believer has a specific role to carry out in this quest of making disciples. So when we look at this word, first participle, go, often it's been misinterpreted. I've heard numerous messages saying, go, quit your job, go to seminary, leave your loved ones, fly halfway around the world to a remote village, and become a full-time missionary so that you can do what Christ commands you to do, make disciples. But truly, I think what Jesus is saying here in Matthew 28, 18 through 20, you don't have to go. He's saying, you just need to reach the unreached in the sphere of influence that you have. You have to leave and fly halfway around the world to be obedient to this. Just serve Jesus Christ with your spiritual gifts within your local church. Follow him. Be conformed to his image. Teach others to trust in the Lord, to believe his word, to live in a way that pleases God. That's what it means to make disciples. And the result is when you and I are doing what Christ has called us as individuals to do, God will build his church. He'll do what he promises. And he'll do it through a process of multiplication. Disciples, like you and me, believers in Jesus Christ, making disciples who go on to make disciples, who go on to make disciples. If we fail to do this, we short-circuit the process that Christ has intended for building his church. We hurt his church. We steer it off course of accomplishing the mission he's given us to do. That's why we all have to be all in together as individuals, as a corporate body, in making disciples. So let's conclude by reflecting on how we've been doing it, making disciples. And just pause for reflection in your own heart and just think about how you personally have been doing at fulfilling the commission, the mission that Christ has given you. Do you view your family from the vantage point of Christ's command to make disciples? Do you view your work this way? Do you view your hobbies this way? What about when it comes to your finances? Do you view them from the vantage point of how can I use what God has given me to make disciples? And I know as I'm giving you some questions to reflect and ponder about, you're maybe saying, wow, Pastor Mike, are you really saying that I have to be making disciples all the time, everywhere, with all that I have? My answer to that would be, no, I'm not saying that. Jesus is saying that. That's what he's saying in his word. He's commanding you, me, to make disciples. It involves evangelizing, baptizing, teaching. Every person on earth is somewhere in between these three points. And so reach out to people, find out where they are on that spectrum, and rely on God to impact them with Christ. Make disciples. So, as we wrap it all up, it's good, it's necessary for us to just examine everything that we're doing as individuals, everything that we're doing as a church. We have a great opportunity to do that in this new year, to think about what we've been doing, how are we doing at accomplishing this mission of making disciples, how can we improve what we're doing to better accomplish this mission Christ has given us, what areas of growth can we add to those things we're doing well? What areas of improvement can we add to things that we're not doing so well? We've looked at Christ's claim, verse 18. We've heard from his command, verse 19 and 20. And at the end of verse 20, we receive his comfort. I love this. After he gave this command, he says, behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age. That's a marvelous promise, friends. It's a great truth. Jesus is forever with us always. As we participate in his command, he's saying, I am with you always. I am helping you. I'm yoking up beside you. I am shouldering this load for you as you obey me. I'm not leaving you to do this alone, is what Jesus is saying. I'm here with you. It's incredibly comforting. It's incredibly encouraging to know the Lord is with us. And he promises, even as he ascended back to heaven, he says, I'm with you. Even though I might not be physically present with you, I'm coming again. We look forward to that. Amen. And he says, until I come, my presence will always be with you. Jesus is in us. He is empowering us. Always, verse 20, to the end of the age, meaning the whole of each and every day. Our great God, our Savior, he is empowering us. He's given us his Spirit. He's given us his Word. He's given us everything we need as individuals, as a church, to make disciples and to be able to do this with the proper motive, which is always for the glory of God alone. Amen. Father, thank you for this challenge from your Word. A lot to chew on this morning and to process, a lot to evaluate. Lord, we just pray that your Spirit would work in and through us as we think about what we have heard. Think about areas that we are doing well and how we can improve those. Think about areas where we're weak and what we need to change. And Lord, I pray that we would be submissive, that we'd be willing and ready to be obedient and yielded to your will, and that we would see every aspect of the life, the sphere of influence that you have placed us in, to see it all from the vantage point of our mission to make disciples. Use us for great ways for your glory and your glory alone, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together and let's conclude our service by singing another hymn.